The Ain't No Fang Podcast. From Arizona Sports, Ain't No Fang.
Normally on the Ain't No Fang podcast, we talk about the Arizona Diamondbacks. Today, we're going to talk about the Boston Red Sox. I am Steve Zinsmeister. That's Derek Montilla and Cody Fincher with me as well. The reason that we need to talk about the Red Sox, we'll get into here in a little bit. But basically, it has to do with whether or not we should be panicking that Mike Hazen is jumping ship.
I'm panicking, Steve. I'm panicking.
We're going to get to that here in just a little bit. What you need to know, though, is that the Arizona Diamondbacks, at the time we left this studio a week ago on the Ain't No Fang podcast, they were the hottest team in Major League Baseball.
What the hell has happened?
You could not have written them as a hotter team. You could not have written a story that was better than what they were playing.
We were on such a high. They were literally the hottest team in baseball. They had no teams between them and the wild card except the two teams in the wild card currently. And everything seemed to be trending towards a miraculous September that led the Diamondbacks to the playoffs. Who knows what would happen at that point, but at the very least, it felt like magic was happening.
And yet, what have we seen in the week since?
We have seen, well, first of all, we're about to see them get swept by the Mets in four games.
Oh my God.
A team that was kind of in its own free fall before that. And now the Mets have now leapfrogged the Diamondbacks. So they're back in the wild card hunt. They're only, this game hasn't gone final yet. They're in the middle of the seventh. It's 10-1 Mets, by the way.
Hey, we got to run.
Yeah, they are right now. The Mets are tied with the Phillies for two games back. The Cubs and the Brewers are tied for the second wild card spot. They have the exact same record, and the Diamondbacks are 2.5 games out. So now we've gone from just having the Cubs and Phillies in front of the Diamondbacks for the second wild card spot to the Cubs, Brewers, Phillies, and Mets.
And potentially being 3.5 games out after today. They also have failed in every facet of the game when it comes to the series with the Mets, but especially over the last two games where they were outscored 9-0 yesterday and so far 10-1 today. They've been outscored 25-4 so far.
19-1 in the last two games.
Good job, Steve.
I did that live on the air.
Wow. He's really proud of himself. You should see the smile on his face right now.
ASU math.
Oh, man.
I've never been prouder of myself. You did other math, which...
Well, there was some other math involved in that. I mean, there's not a lot of math when you think about what happened with the Mets in yesterday's game on September 11th. An emotional day, obviously, especially in New York. There was a lot of emotion involving the fact that the Mets weren't allowed to wear some first responder hats that they wanted to wear. There was absolutely no reason to not allow them to wear them on that day.
Pete Alonso got all of his teammates those cleats, too.
Right.
Custom-made ones. Those were pretty sweet, actually.
There was a lot of things said, but I mean, I couldn't agree more with the fact that we're going to allow the Houston Astros to wear special hats commemorating the Apollo 13, you know, moon launch or moon
Apollo travel. 11, I think.
Apollo 11, I'm sorry. I don't
know. It was the 50th anniversary of Apollo 11.
Apollo 11. I don't know I don't know that stuff, Steve. I'm a baseball guy.
Apollo 13 was.
You say that like I'm not a baseball
guy. That's the movie.
That's when Hanks went to try to go to the moon.
Right.
Correct.
Yeah, Tom Hanks.
Correct.
Right. God bless Tom Hanks.
Tom Hanks.
But, you know, they let them wear special, you know, NASA moon landing tribute hats, right?
Yep.
And there's no reason to not let the Mets do that. But then the Mets go out and beat the Diamondbacks with 9 runs and 11 hits on September 11th. And honestly, like that gave me kind of chills when it came down to it. But that was like one of those games, that particular game, that just, I mean, it screamed that the Diamondbacks season might be done. And I just couldn't believe that. And I know it's just one game, so you can't overreact to just one game. But it was the way that the Diamondbacks not only lost in that game, but in the series. They've just seemed overmatched by the Mets this entire series. And it just seems like all of that magic that we talked about last week is completely gone.
Well, it wasn't just one game, though.
No, correct. But at least they were competitive in the first two games.
It's
but the
one
last
game
two
at the
games.
End of the Reds series.
Right.
Then it's the Mets, the right. Mets, the Mets, and today is the Mets.
They've lost 5 in a row. They are
in
almost,
a week. That's devastating.
They are almost right back to 500.
Ugh.
Yeah.
Why?
Yeah, we're almost
well, wait,
there.
They're going to be. They're going to be what 75-71
yeah.
after today. I think. Right.
Right. So we're getting close.
Yeah. I mean, Listen, could they turn this around in the next week? Yeah, absolutely. We talked last week about how there is no schedule in Major League Baseball that is set up more for success than the Diamondbacks.
Correct. In fact, the only other team that they have with a plus 500 record is the St. Louis Cardinals, like we talked about.
Yeah.
They'll somehow beat. They'll probably win that series.
Right. Somehow. They'll win that series, but then they'll lose both series to the Padres.
They get the Reds again. They get the Marlins. These are at home, by the way.
Right.
The Reds and the Marlins. Then you get the Padres in San Diego. The Cardinals, at least the Cardinals games are here in Phoenix. So, correct. I mean, you have the home field advantage if you want to go with that. And then the Padres to wrap up at home. So this is such a simple setup for success. And for some reason, they're doing what they did last September.
Right.
Where they just crashed and burned. Well, hopefully they don't do the burning part. Hopefully they crash and they recover.
It's really just this series with the Mets. I mean, the Mets really did exactly what the D-backs did the prior 2 weeks. They caught fire at the right time. And they only seem like they're gaining confidence and building in success as they go throughout this particular series with the D-backs. You know, it's wild. I will say that the series with the Cardinals is going to be emotional because we will be welcoming Paul Goldschmidt back for the first time here at Chase Field. But we also saw a little bit of that in New York with Wilmer Flores.
Mm-hmm.
The Mets really welcomed him back in a way that
they cheered for his home run.
I was surprised. Yeah. I had no idea Wilmer was that big of a deal with the Mets. I really was not only surprised, but I respected the way that they honored him. It was very classy.
Like, I knew he was a fan favorite there, but sure. I never knew they would cheer hitting a home run off Jacob DeGrom.
Right.
He's
absolutely
not David Wright. Or
right,
Jose Reyes, mm-hmm. or like people who like carried that organization.
Right, that's what
for
I,
a long time.
That's what I mean.
Wilmer Flores was a backup shortstop who got traded in the middle of the game
and cried,
and then turns out, oops, you're not traded, and it's like, okay, what do we do now?
Well,
that's what Wilmer Flores was to me.
I think the thing is, though, is just
I'm not
like,
a Mets fan,
he
though.
Cared so much about being a Met, he didn't want to get traded, and maybe
that's it.
That's endearing to fans.
Sure, and he was a top prospect within the organization that's come up, and now, especially, they see the success he's having with the D-backs, and that, you know, only makes you long to bring him back even more so. But I will say, like I said, it was a really classy move. I'm looking forward to what the D-backs do for Goldschmidt because I hope they go down that same route. He deserves it. I think the fans would really appreciate it, and it would be a good, you know, series here. I just don't know now at this point what to think. I was looking at the Mets schedule. The Mets do not have a hard schedule either. The Mets also catch the Reds and the Marlins. Mm-hmm. They have a series with the Dodgers that's going to be a little difficult for them and a series with the Braves that could be. But outside of that, they're also playing a bunch of sub-500 teams. So it's going to be interesting. At the very least, what we can all be happy about is that the team made it interesting down the run. They could be eliminated. There could be a lot of worse outcomes than this. The Diamondbacks have kept us interested in this postseason race. The last 2 months of the season have felt kind of like a postseason, you know, series kind of thing. So, you know, I don't know if they're going to do it. And I, after watching them against the Mets, I don't know, once again, like we've said in the past, if they do get in the playoffs, how much they're going to be able to contend against the big firepower of some of these other teams like the Dodgers.
Even when the Diamondbacks were having their hot streak over a week ago, I still wasn't looking at their roster as this is a team that's well prepared for a playoff series. They could make a playoff push. They could make the playoffs. They could easily get a wild card. Not easily. Obviously, if it was easy, they would have done it. But they can slip into that conversation. But I don't think they're well prepared as a roster to face some of the more daunting teams in the National League.
Right.
Certainly not the Dodgers. Look at the standings. So for me, even when they were having success, I wasn't thinking to myself the entire time, oh my gosh, these guys are making a run. I was just thinking this could have the chance to be a really good September story, the complete opposite of last year's September story, and could propel them to the playoffs instead of detract them from, you know, just subtract them from where they were in the playoff picture a year ago.
This whole time, at least this whole season, I've been kind of had the mindset of just being pleasantly surprised because I didn't expect them to be in the wild card race after trading Paul Goldschmidt away, losing Corbin, losing AJ Pollock. And then at the trade deadline, trading Zach Greinke, I was all on board for the quote-unquote rebuild to happen. Maybe I didn't even really care if they lost that many games because I was kind of expecting it. And I'm honestly just happy that they're competing like this and that they are this close, but at the same time, it is really frustrating because that second wild card is right there for the taking because the Cubs are not playing very well. And they
just lost Javi Baez.
Yeah, and they lost, a few games to the Padres recently, and it's right there, and that's the frustrating part is that they can't just take it.
Well, even the Dodgers lost to the Orioles, right? I mean, right. there's crazy things happening, and that's the big thing about being hot at this time of the year. The Diamondbacks go into the playoffs on a roll like the way they were the last 2 weeks. That you never know what could happen because that's how baseball is sometimes. Sometimes it's those type of scrappy teams that just have that winning mindset at the right time and have things rolling in the right direction could do big things. This, you know, getting smacked in the mouth the way they did it by the Mets really just brings it down to reality. Again, you know, you can think all the things you want about them being hot, but if you're talking about going up against a team like some of the top teams in the National League and against their top starters and their, you know, and their starting rotation, I don't think the Diamondbacks can compete. But at the same time, what we have now is a lot to build on, and the building on has been done by the general manager of this team, Mike Hazen. Again, if you would have told people that are fans of this team last season, at the end of last season, that at this point we would be without Greinke, Goldschmidt,
Pollock,
Corbin.
Peralta
yeah. injured, out, right. Yeah.
To a lesser extent,
Souza.
Yeah, sure. Everyone
thought he was going to be the starting right fielder.
Those are probably your five best players plus a couple key role players.
Yeah. Yet somehow you're going to still have two of the best players in the National League on your team, and you're going to be in the hunt for the wild card at the end of the season.
Plus a closer. We didn't know a year ago that we would have Greg Holland, but the guy that closed for three quarters of the season, no longer there.
No longer there.
Two rookies in the rotation.
Right.
Yeah. Well, and more that have played significant time.
Yep.
I'm including Duplantier in that. Taylor Clark, Merrill Kelly. Yeah.
Oh yeah, three rookies. I guess,
so you have a handful there. Plus Mike Leake, who wasn't even on the team a year ago, wasn't even on the team a month ago.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, you're right. Significant losses.
Significant losses. If you're patient, then this season has been a wonderful Sunday, and all of this winning and all of this fun postseason talk has been just the toppings on a wonderful Sunday. You know, at this point, Mike Hazen got this team directed on the right path and did it through trades and letting guys go and doing everything that they did, but the future looks very bright for this team. It's not looking very bright, though, if we lose Mike Hazen, which we cannot do at all costs.
Ugh.
Let's talk about that, though.
I'm so worried.
Let's talk about that. So, if you're still listening, thank you. You're probably waiting for me to pay off the tease of why we're talking about the Boston Red Sox. They are making headlines here in Arizona for this reason. The Boston Red Sox won the World Series a year ago, 11 months ago. Their general manager or president of baseball operations is named Dave Dombrowski. He's one of the best to ever do it in the modern era, I would say. It's him and Theo Epstein and some of the others, Brian Sabian, who have taken over front offices of major market teams, and they make big trades, they make big acquisitions. Dave Dombrowski was fired this week, a couple days ago, over the weekend, I believe. The reason for that is because the Red Sox think that they can do better. They've had a down year, so to speak, and they're looking to make a change. Does that change involve bringing in Mike Hazen to be their next president of baseball operations / general manager? Now, first of all, I want to make it very clear. There is no indication from the Red Sox that they are trying to speak to Mike Hazen.
Correct.
There is no indication that they're even looking to hire somebody new. I have not seen the Red Sox come out and say, we are starting a committee and we are looking for someone. But we are all under the assumption that if you're the Red Sox, you go and get the best guy possible.
Not only that, but you don't fire someone like Dave Dombrowski without having someone already in mind as to who you want
Steve. Here's the thing, Derek. They promoted a member of their staff, the assistant GM, they promoted to current acting GM and maybe even president of baseball ops. I didn't really see that title. They promoted from within and said, he's our guy, but they did not say for the interim. I have not seen anywhere that he is the interim GM. and that they are looking to hire someone else. So, with all that context, Mike Hazen was the general manager of the Boston Red Sox when he came to Arizona.
Mm-hmm.
He was underneath Dave Dombrowski.
Dave Dombrowski pretty much made all the decisions.
He was the decision maker.
Yep.
Hazen was GM in title only. And Mike Hazen was chosen to come and be the quote-unquote vice president. He is the vice president of baseball operations with the Diamondbacks. Basically the same role Dombrowski has with the Red Sox.
Yeah.
But he's also the general manager of the Diamondbacks. Hazen is. Would the Red Sox want to go and get their former guy in Mike Hazen and bring him to Boston? And are you worried about it?
Well, if I'm the Red Sox, yeah. Because, first of all, he's done such a great job with the Diamondbacks with, like we were just been saying, a depleted roster, building the farm system back up. And he's,
with every single trade and every single thing he's done. I mean, even look at them acquiring J.D. Martinez after we did it. You know what I mean?
Right.
It's like everything that even they did has been like a reactionary move to Mike Hazen's superior.
If you're the Red Sox and you're not looking at trying to bring back Mike Hazen as their president of baseball operation, it would have to be a promotion for him to leave the Diamondbacks. And if the Red Sox aren't looking at that, then they're not doing their jobs right. I don't think exhausting all options. If they're not looking even at Mike Hazen's team of Jared Porter and Amiel Sade, I don't think they're doing their due diligence, because those guys are really talented and have a lot to do with the success that's gone on with the Diamondbacks and even the Red Sox when they were all there together. So I mean, if I were the Red Sox, yeah, I'd be interested. But the key is Mike Hazen interested? And I want to play this for you guys. This is on Doug and Wolf yesterday. Mike Hazen joined the guys. And they asked him, are you interested in the Boston Red Sox?
I am an Arizona Diamondback, and I want to talk about the Arizona Diamondbacks. And that's really where my focus is. It's 100% of my focus has been and will continue to be. So that's all I'm really going to have to offer on that. Let's talk about the team in New York and our chase for the pennant.
So
maybe let's not talk about the team in
maybe
New York.
Let's not talk about that series. But
it's not going so hot.
I'm going to come to his defense fast. There
go ahead.
Is when that interview started, and this is no knock at our guys here, Doug and Wolf and such, but that when that interview started, it literally started with rumors Mike Hazen might be going to the Boston Red Sox kind of deal, right?
Not true.
And it went right into him, like, kind of getting ambushed, I feel like, because that was that's his normal interview time that he comes on to talk about the team and such, right?
Well, it's with Doug and Wolf, it's a rotation of Mike, Jared Porter, and Amiel Sade.
Correct. Yeah, so I'm not trying to say
it's not unexpected for him to be on the air at that time.
Right.
But it's unexpected to be talking about that
haven't heard from like a Ken Rosenthal or a Jeff Passan, hey, Mike Hazen's a serious candidate for the Red Sox. It's been mostly like, well, the Red Sox fired their guy.
It's
one of their former guys is here.
It's speculation. It's not a rumor, right? Yeah, because a rumor would be like that the Red Sox are interested, according to sources, right?
I think it's just like common knowledge. Like, why wouldn't the Red Sox be interested in Mike Hazen?
Now, the way that I take that particular interview personally is of kind of annoyance that he has to immediately go into instead of talking about their team, which at the time is still the hottest team in baseball coming into the series with the Mets. And now he has to talk about himself and this, you know, trumped up rumor about him going
back. A guy that probably never wants to talk about himself.
Right. A guy, you know, the problem there is that he is a Red Sox guy to his core. As a matter of fact, he talked about how much he loved being a part of the Red Sox organization when he was hired by them. It was a love that you don't just make up. I think we have the clip of that when he got hired by the Red Sox.
Yeah, this is
a different level of love for an organization when you talk like this.
Yeah, this is in 2015 at his introductory press conference as the GM in
Boston.
It's
a privilege and an honor to work for the Boston Red Sox. It always has been since I joined 10 years ago. This organization is prestigious, successful, has history, a history that I'm proud of personally, one that I grew up in. From the days when I used to wake up and argue with my dad over who was better between Rice and Evans, that debate still rages on today, probably even between Rice and Evans. Coming here to Fenway Park and watching Wade Boggs and Marty Barrett, Bruce Hurst, going to Pawtucket, my first game, and seeing Oil Can Boyd pitch. memories that, you know, I take with me here in this job, because that's what leads me, leads us, I think, as a group, every day, drives us to be successful, to want to make this organization one that we're proud of and that the fan base is proud of and that the players are proud of as well.
That's first, love.
First of all, no one's arguing that to this day about who the best player is out of those two guys. No. But yes, I will say that that's love. And I don't think people forget that level of love somebody has for an organization. So you take that love, you combine a need for the organization currently with the success that he's having here with the Arizona Diamondbacks. I know of people that don't really even know much about baseball that have complimented Mike Hazen on the moves that he's made. And so, like, when you start transcending, you know, the sport to where people start knowing you for being savvy and for making successful moves for an organization, that's big. You know, and those three factors together obviously is where this speculation comes from. I am sure that there is some interest on both sides deep down. I mean, I'm sure the Boston Red Sox would love to have him back, and I'm sure there's a part of Mike Hazen that you know, love to be back with the Red Sox. But that doesn't mean that that's going to be him exiting the Diamondbacks. At least I hope not.
So you guys heard the comments from yesterday, the full interview probably. But for a lot of people, we got a lot of response on Doug and Wolf that were like, oh, he's gone, because there was no, because a lot of people
because
read into that, and
it.
He didn't say, he didn't deny it. There was no, like, hardcore, no, these aren't true, I'm staying here. A lot of people are like, oh, he doesn't sound sure at all. He's kind of stuttered in that one clip I just played. I mean, if you want to really read into it.
Yeah.
Are you guys worried at all about this?
Yes,
or
I'm worried.
You are?
I'm worried just because of all the factors I detailed. There's a certain thing, unfortunately, when it comes to sports, that teams have a power over. The Yankees, the Dodgers, mm-hmm. the Red Sox, they have a power over people. The Cubs, these are organizations that people grew up as small children loving and putting up on a pedestal. So to a degree, to go work for them, they always have an advantage. And that's in every sport. You have the Lakers and the Knicks, and you have other teams that, like, people want to play for because of the tradition and the history that that organization has. You know, it's an unsaid advantage that you can't really ever get over, because, I mean, maybe 20 years down the line, I mean, we now have kids that have grown up, you know, being Diamondbacks fans. We have kids that are 20 years old that have watched this organization their entire lives. So things are changing for an organization like the Diamondbacks, but it's different. It's never going to have the same history that a team like the Red Sox has.
Steve, are you worried?
I am worried. Not about Mike Hazen.
Really?
I'll tell you why.
Okay.
Mike Hazen, if I'm Mike, this is how I anticipate I would feel. Yes, I'd love to go back to Boston. That is the pinnacle franchise to succeed with. I mean, the 2004 World Series, mm-hmm. I don't think any other team has celebrated a World Series like that other than the Chicago Cubs in 2016.
Yeah, correct.
Those are the only two, like, organizations where you needed to win a championship and it truly meant something to the sport. It meant next to nothing when the Royals won the World Series.
Yeah.
Next to nothing.
Right. Marlins.
The sport does not care about the Royals winning.
Twice.
The Marlins won two of them in the last 25 years.
Correct.
But the
Nobody
Red Sox,
cares about
the it
franchise.
Means something. The Cubs, it means something. Why do you think Theo Epstein left the Red Sox for the Cubs?
Right.
Those are the only two. Maybe you throw the Yankees job, which hasn't been available in like 50 years. Maybe throw that in the conversation, but to me, that is an intriguing job. But I'm not worried about it, because the pressures of being the GM and president of baseball operations in Boston are so enormous that I don't think Mike Hazen will ever be fired in Arizona.
No.
I really don't.
No.
And I never thought that about Dave Stewart. I never thought that about Kevin Towers. I never thought about other guys. Like, I always knew there was potential for them to mess it up and to be gone. And that's not to say they were bad general managers when they were hired.
Not right.
It's just that I've never felt the way that I feel currently about a GM.
It's because
like
you,
I do with Mike Hazen.
You typically need to win a championship in order to secure that level of being comfortable in
but
the
here's
job
the
and
thing.
Not losing your job.
Here's the thing. I've heard people make the argument that Boston shouldn't want Mike Hazen because he hasn't done anything in Arizona since he got here, because he hasn't made, you know, they made the playoffs once. And that was their first year, right?
They don't know about the broken vase.
But here's the thing. Mike Hazen, he has not won a championship since he came to Arizona. Not that that's easy to do, by the way.
Right.
Nobody's won a championship in Arizona since 2001. But also, it's not just about championships. Mm-hmm. Mike Hazen has single-handedly taken one of the worst farm systems in baseball and flipped it to be a top five, by a lot of people's standards, top five, just to be conservative, top 10 farm system, and he helped build the team that just won a World Series in Boston last year. Do you think Dave Dombrowski made every single decision that built that, that team?
I think that's part of the whole, like, here in Arizona, we see what he's done because we know all the moves,
everyone
we know all
does.
The players. Well, a lot of people.
But a lot of people here know how good he is.
But, like, when you look at, like, if you're in Boston right now, you're like why wouldn't Mike Hazen want to come back to Boston? Or why, you
We're
know.
Boston.
Yeah. Because he hasn't done anything out there.
He should want us.
Yeah. So I
don't disagree with you.
So why are you worried?
I'm worried because his assistants are just as valuable as Mike Hazen is. I think as good as Mike Hazen is, I think his assistants, I apologize, I don't know their exact titles, but I know Jared Porter and Amiel Sade are 1A and 1B.
GMs.
This organization is a trio.
Mm-hmm.
Mike Hazen is not as good as he is without those two guys. And from what I've heard, Amiel Sade gets a lot of credit around baseball for what he has done in other organizations, such as the Boston Red Sox.
With the draft, especially, too.
I've also heard, and again, this is not from direct sources, but I've heard around the building that those two guys have both interviewed for general manager positions in baseball. By the way, there's only 30 of those in the world. And those two guys are interviewing for them and either have decided to turn them down to stay with Mike Hazen and the Diamondbacks or were just passed over for better opportunities with other people. I don't know what the jobs were. I don't know who those candidates were that got them over them, but I know that they were valuable enough to that organization to interview them, and that says a lot about those two guys. I'm worried that the Red Sox might see value in Amiel Sade or in Jared Porter and might come after one of those two guys, and they are more likely to leave than Mike Hazen.
It would
Hazen
definitely
is.
Be easier to get one of them.
Oh, definitely.
Than Mike Hazen.
And the Diamondbacks would be more open to that because it doesn't uproot the entire organization.
Mike Hazen goes,
you lose a lot more than just Mike Hazen. You lose a lot of the people under him, and you're looking for a new head of your organization.
Mm-hmm.
You lose Amiel Sade, that's a significant loss, and I'm fearful of that. But you still have Jared Porter, hopefully. You still have people below them that are working and turning this machine that they've built, and it keeps the gears going.
Right.
It doesn't subtract the engine. It subtracts the hubcap. You know what I mean? And I'm not trying to demean Amiel Sade by saying he's the hubcap of the machine.
It's
just my point is,
it's the catalytic converter.
They can survive without one of those assistant guys in a way that if Mike Hazen went, and it's too easy for the Red Sox to reach out and grab that player because the Diamondbacks should want Amiel Sade or Jared Porter to be promoted to a job in Major League Baseball.
Yeah, it's a reflection.
Well,
it's a reflection of the organization and
that's
of Mike
I'm
Hazen. Right. No, that's a good worry, I think. But that's the thing is if Mike Hazen can bring people up to be that level, to go on and be general managers, then the potential for him to recognize talent and have somebody else take their place is great. To lose the person that's in charge up there at the top, that's the real fear for me, to be honest. My fear is that the one doing things at the top is the one that leaves. The Diamondbacks were left with a reverse mortgage, basically. For anybody that knows what a reverse mortgage is, it's basically a mortgage that people get when they have no plan on actually paying off the house, and they're just going to hopefully, I don't know, die in the house. That's usually what it is. That means this organization was literally left for dead because that's what you could say was done by Dave Stewart and Tony La Russa when they were in charge of this organization. The moves that they made, the way that they mortgaged the future of this organization, mm-hmm. completely devalued it.
They went for broke.
They literally, it was all in. Like, there was first
Shelby Miller, might I remind everybody?
First hand of the tournament, all in. I'm going all in.
Well, Zach Greinke was the first big piece.
Without knowing the cards.
Right.
They pretty much put their chips in the middle of the table.
Exactly. And I mean, to be honest, to get the organization out of it, as we've talked about time and time again, is the most impressive feat that Mike Hazen has done. If we were to lose Mike Hazen at this point, at the very least, he was the wolf that we described from Pulp Fiction that came in and cleaned up the mess.
Yeah.
You know, there was a...
How are you going to do that?
There was a terrible mess, and he came in, and he made it go away. And so, at the very least, if they do lose Hazen, I'm thankful that we had him for the time that we did, and he was able to get this organization, at the very least, on track the way he was able to do.
I just want to throw out there before we end this thing that... Last year, the Giants came calling when they were trying to hire a president of baseball operations, and they hired Farhan Zahidi. And the Diamondbacks denied permission. Granted, it's a division rival, and you don't want to see your sure. guy go to a division rival and totally build up their team. But they have denied permission to for other teams to request to interview Mike Hazen before. So, I mean, according to Derek Hall this morning, the Red Sox haven't called. They haven't called them yet.
And I think that should make fans feel
a
little bit better.
Yeah, and I personally would think that the Red Sox would have called by now if they really wanted Mike Hazen. Not to say they haven't called about other guys like Amiel Sade or Jared Porter, but Derek said this morning that they have not called about Mike. So they haven't had to worry about
it. And he also said he has not heard from Mike that he is interested in hearing out the Red Sox.
Right.
So nobody has reached out to anybody. In the three parties at hand, the Red Sox, the Diamondbacks organization, and Mike Hazen as a person, things shouldn't be going through him personally anyway, but we all know people have personal relationships.
Can we call him the wolf from now on? No. Anyway, it's just a thought. I'm just throwing it out there.
Not to mention, too.
We have a guy named Wolf on the station. I feel like that's a little conflicting.
If the Red Sox want to go back to their past... Theo Epstein is in Chicago, and he's got a lot of his people there. Not saying they go for Theo.
Okay.
But going for another guy under Theo.
Jed Hoyer.
That could be something right there.
Yeah, go after Jed Hoyer.
Also, yeah, take the Red Sox.
Get it.
Go get it. We'll give you his number.
Go away.
The Red Sox front office tree, you know, we talk about coaching trees. The Theo tree. Not only has Jed Hoyer been his right-hand man for
ever
a long time, you also have Josh Burns, former GM of the Diamondbacks,
yep.
who came originally from Boston and I believe is in San Diego right now. Amiel Sade is a guy. We talked about Mike Hazen quite a bit as well. Here's a dark horse. Can I throw this out there?
Go ahead.
I saw this in a movie one time. Brad Pitt was asked to be the general manager. I'm speaking, of course, about Billy Beane in Moneyball. Billy Beane was asked in 2003, whatever it was, to come and be
the Red Sox
president of baseball operations. You know, there's a whole
scene. That was in the movie.
John Henry slides him the piece of paper with the number on it. He looks at it. He's blown away. Blah, 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 blah. Doesn't take it. Is Billy Beane in the point of his career where maybe if they came calling with that same offer 15-ish years later?
Now, Billy...
He's been in Oakland all this time.
He's still there, right?
But he's still competitive all the time.
Is he making the decisions in Oakland still or no?
Oh, yeah. Billy Beane?
I don't know, with the completion of the new stadium coming up soon and everything like that.
What if the Red Sox want Billy Beane? I'm just throwing out random
names. The A's
names
are about to be the only team in town too, because the Raiders are leaving.
And Billy Beane
and the Warriors are leaving.
Billy Beane, I believe, is a good model for earlier when I said that Mike Hazen will never be fired by the Arizona Diamondbacks. By the way, somebody's going to quote me on that. Somebody's going to pull that. And
well, now you said
it
because every time we say something in here,
the opposite happens. That's not good for
me.
But
great job, Steve.
But Billy Beane is the perfect example of that in Oakland. Oakland is not going to fire Billy Beane.
No, he's going to have to leave.
He'll have to leave.
Yeah.
It's the, I don't have a good example of somebody who's retired recently, but it's one of those jobs where like it's the perfect fit in that there's not a ton of pressure. Diamondbacks. And if you go to the Red Sox, everyone gets fired by the Red Sox, the Yankees, and the Cubs. Everyone gets fired because you can't live up to the
because eventually,
brand.
No matter how we just saw it, no matter how many championships or how recently you've won a championship there, your job is in jeopardy.
All right.
Just what happens.
Let's wrap this up. The Diamondbacks, thankful, by the way, that we still have Mike Hazen. Can we just finish on that note?
God, yes.
We're also thankful that we have him. Please don't go anywhere if you're listening, Mike. I know he is. The Diamondbacks get the Reds tomorrow. This game with the Mets is just wrapping up, but let's just call it a loss. It's 11-1 currently with the Mets.
Let's call it
leading.
A loss. That's a safe assumption.
Yeah.
Steve.
How do you like my play-by-play there? The Diamondbacks get the Reds again. That starts tomorrow at 6:40 p.m. They get three games at home with them. Then they get three with the Marlins. Then they go to San Diego for three games. So over the next nine games, over the next week, they are in a good position to turn things around. However, they were in a good position to continue to dominate a week ago, and that is not exactly what happened. So we'll see what happens over the course of the next 7 days, and we'll be back with you. At the tail end of next week, I'm Steve Zinsmeister. It's Derek Montilla and Cody Fincher with us as well. You've been listening to the Ain't No Fang podcast here at ArizonaSports.com.